This is the perfect time to start a side hustle, and this is also the perfect time to start a podcast about starting a side hustle. Kick it. The dream is free, but the hustle is sold separately. This is the Living My Side Hustle podcast.
Okay, everyone, welcome back to Living My Side Hustle, a great podcast to put a feature on people out there in the world helping us to do great things on the side, maybe turning it into something even more than that. And Michael Hoffman is here with me from Canada, Halifax, which is amazing. And great to have you, Michael, here on the podcast. Welcome to Living My Side Hustle.
Thanks so much for having me, David.
It's exciting to have you here. Your background is you're not just from Canada. You've also come from another great place in the world. Can you tell us where your country of origin is and kind of how you got to Canada?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm originally from Germany. So if there are any like grammatical errors in my language, I apologize for that in advance. No, I'm originally from Germany, close to Munich. Grew up in the south of it. And yeah, I moved to Halifax, Nova Scotia almost 6 years ago now in 2017. Because at that point I just graduated. I stopped my professional sports career. And I also quit my first job that I had around that time. So I was like, okay, let's move. Let's go overseas and experience a different country.
Nice. We have listeners to the podcast in Germany. It might be fun for them to hear you say hello. Would you like to greet our German listeners?
Of course. Hallo an alle deutschen Zuhörer. Und ich hoffe, dass ihr einiges aus dieser Episode des Podcasts mitnimmt.
And there you go. So you're in Germany. You're like, wait a minute. I'm going to rewind that again. It's kind of nice when my guest can come on and speak to a part of the world that I can't. And I appreciate it. So thank you for doing that. I think you said something nice, but we'll go with nice for that. Yeah.
Okay, yes, good. Of course.
It's amazing. Michael, tell me more about what you do. I've been going through your information online and your digital media company and everything that you do. What do you do? Who do you serve? Let's start with that, and then we're going to get into our conversation more.
Yeah, for sure. So I currently run let's call it a performance-based advertising agency. So we help small and medium-sized businesses if they want to run ads on platforms like Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, the Google Display Network, Pinterest, all these kind of display platforms, and help them actually grow their revenue and be profitable in the say at the same time. We saw a lot of times that advertising agencies brag that they can bring great results and great revenue and bring you to seven figures per year. The problem is, it doesn't matter if you get to seven figures if you spend eight. Like if your ads are not profitable, then it doesn't make sense to spend the money. So we focus a lot on actually bringing in a profit and being ROAS positive to actually get the most for the client. And yeah, that's basically what we focus on. We have clients all over the world, a lot of them in Germany or in German-speaking countries, but also in Canada, the United States. And they range from basically health coaches to personal development coaches to business coaches. So mainly it comes down to online experts and online coaches that want to promote either their coaching offers or their online courses. And they came to a point where their business is not growing anymore organically. Mm-hmm. They did a lot of things through social media. They grew their email list. Maybe they even dabbled into paid advertising before, but they can't grow anymore. They hit a plateau and they want to scale. And we all know that the key to scaling is you have to spend money to play in that nowadays. Now, organic reach is at an all-time low, I would say, on the classic social media platforms. So the only way to scale your business that way is to give the platform money to expose it to more people. And yeah, we help the online coaches doing that with our advertising campaigns.
Does a client come to you, Michael, with an idea of where their community is and the social platform they want to use? Or are they coming to you with really no knowledge, no idea, and you kind of help them pick the right platform for them and their community?
So the thing for us to work with a client, actually, they have to have an offer that already sells. They already have to have an audience that is interested in what they sell, because, as I said, it doesn't make sense to spend thousands and thousands of dollars on an offer that doesn't sell. So most of the times, if a client comes to us, they already have their perfect target audience figured out. They know what they want to sell and they have a goal in mind that they want to accomplish. A lot of times when people come to me and say, hey, I don't really know who my audience is. I don't really know if my offer sells. We can advise, but a lot of times it doesn't end up in a service provider, client partnership, simply because I don't want to take people's money and just like spend it left and right and see and try to figure out what works and what doesn't work. It's like throwing spaghetti at a wall. Yeah. It's not about that. Like, we're about scaling. And if you're not in a place to actually be able to scale something, then it doesn't make sense for either of us to work together.
At any given time, how many clients do you have in your portfolio, roughly? Is it, give us an idea of how many you're working with right now?
Currently, I think we have between like 8 and 10. It fluctuates a little bit month to month, and it's also a little bit seasonal. But yeah, around like 8 to 10. Currently, I'm the only account manager in the business. I have a couple assistants that help me with smaller things like graphic design and bookkeeping and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, currently I'm the only account manager, and I don't want to spread myself too thin, right? I still want to provide a good product to the client. And if I can only invest half an hour every week for a client, it doesn't make sense.
So who would be your ideal client then? Who are you looking to work with? Who should be coming and knocking down your door? What would be a good scenario for you?
We're going to talk about that later as well, but the ideal client for me is an online coach that actually already has an offer that sells, has probably an email list between like 5 to 10,000 people, and wants to scale their offer, and probably also has a budget to spend. The most important thing for me when a client comes to me is that they have an understanding that it requires a little bit of patience with paid ads, especially if you've never done paid ads before. So if you come to me and say, hey, I want to spend that much money, I want to have results tomorrow, I can only tell you that's not going to work that way. Like with Facebook ads, especially if you're starting from scratch, it needs a little bit of a learning phase. Usually we have like a minimum of 3 months that we work together, and you ideally have the budget for these 3 months to spend in order to see significant results.
Okay. All right. So the audience for Living My Side Hustle could be people who are doing something on the side with business. They want to grow their business. They want to see it become maybe something that replaces their 9-to-5 job. They want to follow their passion. Any tips from you and your perspective on addressing that part of the audience? Any kind of motivation you can give to people that it is possible to take a dream and see it develop into something even more than what you start with?
For sure. So especially in the realm of like paid advertising, I know it can be really tough for someone that's just running a side hustle, right? Because financial resources are pretty limited. So the biggest piece of advice from me for the audience would be to actually learn the basics of running ads yourself if you really want to dive into it. Doesn't make sense for you to spend your hard-earned money to pay someone to do it for you if you might as well do it yourself and do it even better, because there's a lot of agencies, a lot of experts out there that call themselves experts because they have a Facebook account. Like that's just the reality right now.
Yeah.
And so it's more work. I know it takes time to understand it. It takes time to learn it, but there are a lot of resources, a lot of free resources out there where you can actually learn how to run ads for yourself to actually grow your exposure, not necessarily to make a profit in the beginning, but if you have a side hustle, you want to grow, you want to expose yourself, you want to reach people. And I think that is... A mentor of mine always said, be danger. What did he say? he said, know enough that you can be dangerous. So it's like, know enough about Facebook ads that you can actually challenge someone that comes to you and tries to sell you like Facebook ads as a service. Because if you don't know what's going on with all those ads, they can tell you anything and everything and you believe it. But if you have like a basic knowledge of how it works and what's possible and what's not possible, you can actually challenge them and have a good conversation. And that's how you get results. So yeah, that would be my biggest piece of advice in terms of like running ads when you only have a side hustle.
Okay. And I guess the other thing too, we want to obviously point people in your direction because you offer this service to people, but you talked about people on Facebook having a profile and then now they're an expert. I'd rather go with someone a little tried and true who does this and knows their stuff like you do. What are some other things that we need to just be aware of to kind of be a cautionary tale to people to vet and make sure you pick the right agency like yours to work with? Anything that you should just like a warning sign, a little flag that goes, wait a minute, I don't know if this person really knows what they're doing before I hand them my money to work with them. Is there any kind of cautions that you would put out there for people? Like, just be aware of this and talk to people who know what they're talking about.
I mean, it never hurts to actually request case studies or success stories of these people. If they are not willing to give you any like screenshots or give you references of clients they worked with, you usually should see that as a warning sign. But that doesn't just apply for ads, that applies for everything. Like if they can't provide results or show you that they did something, especially in your industry before, that's usually not a good sign. And then also it's not just about requesting that feedback or those references. It's also important to get references for people that are in a similar situation as you are. It makes a massive difference if you work with someone running their ads when they have a $10,000 a month budget compared to someone that has a $1,000 a month budget.
Right.
I right now work with clients like in all areas. So we have some that only spend $1,000 a month. We have some that spend up to like 50 grand a month. And I can't send over like case studies to someone of the client that spends 50 grand because it's not comparable. You're not getting the same results as someone that has this massive budget. So it is a little bit tricky. I'm also on the service provider side. I would never like encourage anybody to say, hey, work for me for free and show me that you can bring results, because that's just not how it works. But yeah, just be cautious. Like a lot of times you can actually tell if they know what they're talking about or not, or if you really have your doubts, make connections with experts you know, that they know their stuff. Not necessarily to work with them, but just to reach out to them and say, hey, excuse me, can you tell me if this one is actually the real deal, for example? Like, I always tell anybody, hey, if you have questions, if you have doubts, if that is a good expert or someone that can help you, like just reach out to me, send me their info, and I can. Sometimes when you run ads for a while, you can actually tell, you get an eye for it and you get a feel for it if that person is legit or not.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned earlier many different platforms that we can do our paid ads on. Any of these that are kind of standing out to you right now as a really good focused area that we should be putting our money behind that is serving up really good results in general terms? Is there one that you kind of prefer over another?
I mean, my all-time favorite platform is Facebook and Instagram ads. So that's just everyone says, okay, Facebook is dying. No one is on Facebook anymore. There is a reason why Facebook had massive revenue growth in the last quarter. Like, people are still investing money in the platform. People are still buying from the platform. What people always forget is that Facebook ads don't just mean Facebook ads. These are also Instagram ads. And Instagram is still a platform that people spend hours a day on it and make buying decisions on there. It's not just that they're there to watch reels and see their favorite influencers. They actually do their research on products they want to buy or buy products like right out of their feed. So I always prefer Facebook and Instagram ads, but like it's not even a new platform anymore, but TikTok ads are, you get a massive bang for your buck on there. So the cost to actually display your ad and to reach people is super low. There's not just your 14-year-old granddaughter on there that's doing dances. The actual average age of a TikTok user is like in the 30s, I think, right now. So there's a big demographic on the platform that actually has the buying power. So it makes sense for you to run ads. The issue with TikTok is the production effort you have to put into the ads and the videos that you want to make is a little higher than on Facebook. On Facebook, mm-hmm. you can just put a picture on there and it's good. And you can run it as an ad. TikTok, you have to understand the platform a little bit to make your ad successful, simply because the feel of TikTok ads is way more native. It has to fit into the platform. If you scroll through TikTok and it's like, it looks super salesy and it looks like an ad, people will keep scrolling. But if it's like, if it looks like an actual video, an actual organic video, people will stop and people will buy. So these are the two platforms that I prefer right now. Especially for someone with a side hustle, I would highly encourage you to try TikTok ads, simply because it's very cheap and you get a lot of good results.
You mentioned earlier as well, Pinterest. Not many people have that in part of their scope of their plans for advertising. Pinterest is very visual, very interactive, and a very healthy user base there. Any tips on Pinterest?
Yeah. I mean, Pinterest is super visual. You need to, same as on TikTok, it's probably a little more effort you have to put in there into making your creatives like visually appealing. You also have to have the right target audience for it, right? If you sell car parts, for example, or appliance repair parts, you're not going to find your target audience for that on Pinterest. But if your ideal target audience are women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s that are interested in crafts or whatnot, it's definitely worth a try to actually run Pinterest ads. That being said, the cost there to run ads in general, so that we always call it the CPM, the cost per 1,000 impressions, is higher than it is, for example, on TikTok.
Okay. All right. So for people looking at adding then advertisements into their side hustle strategy, again, my listeners run the gamut of brand new side hustlers with a very small audience to side hustlers have a large audience and are doing this as a way to reach out beyond their 9-to-5 and reach into the community and support people. So there's a wide variety of people listening to our podcast. There's great free tools out there. You can build your audience. You can grow to the point of hiring somebody like you to come in and take us to the next level. But from a side hustle perspective, is there room for people, Michael, to get into something like this as a side hustle and work with this and provide paid ads and work with companies? Would that be something you'd suggest?
Yeah, I mean, that's the path that I took. So it is definitely possible. There's still the demand for it. But I'm not going to lie. It takes a lot of grit and it takes a lot of patience to make it work, simply because it is a field that in the last 6 to 7 years was booming. Social media management, online marketing. It had a massive, massive growth period during 2016, I think, or 2017, when Tai Lopez and Russell Brunson and all these people started offering their courses and training programs to become an online marketer, to become a social media marketer. But I still think there's room for people to get into this industry and help people. It's like any other industry. It's like when you're good at what you're doing and when you're passionate about it, you should follow it and you should actually put everything into it to get better at it and to get the best, to become the best in the field, to provide the most value to the client. I don't think there is a reason for you not to start it. But just so you know, it takes a while. Probably probably takes longer than you initially anticipate. For me, I started out in 2016 and it took me until 2022 to actually make this my full-time business. So it was almost 5.5, 6 years of side hustling, of early mornings, late nights. But in the end, it is what I'm passionate about and it is what brings me joy. And I didn't mind getting up at 4 a.m. and working till like 1 p.m. outside of my job, because I knew that that was fun to me. That was like, if when I see a client get results, or when I see a new sale come in, or when they send me a message saying, hey, please turn off the ads because we just can't handle the requests anymore. That makes it all worth it, right?
Okay, talk about your tipping point between your career, your 9-to-5, your regular job, and your side hustle. When was that tipping point where, for you personally, your job got in the way of your side hustle? And it's kind of like, I'm leaning more towards this other passion I have, and I'm going to have to start cutting back on work to make room for my side hustle. What did that feel like when that was happening?
I mean, for me, there were two tipping points, I would say. One minor and one major. So the minor one was actually in the beginning in 2016 or 2017. I was still working at a local newspaper. It was miserable there. I hated it after 4 months. And that's when I actually started like buying one of these courses and started to reaching out to clients and actually signing my first two clients. And I actually got into a lot of trouble for that, because in Germany, you have to tell your employer that you have a side hustle and that you're actually making money on the side. And I did not know that. So when I decided to quit my job to move to Canada, I told my employer at that time that I had a side hustle for the last couple of months and making a little bit of money on the side. And yeah, I didn't get into a lot of trouble, but he told me that it's legally not allowed to have a side hustle without letting your employer know. So that was one thing. So if you're in Germany and you plan on having a side hustle, and you should probably tell your employer about that first. But that was like the first tipping point. There was one experience when I walked into the office one morning, and my coworker, she was in her probably mid-40s. And I was always there early because I like a quiet office. And she walks in, sits down, looks at her calendar, and was like, just 20 more years. And I was like, she was looking at a calendar referencing the years that she had left until she can retire. And I was sitting in there and I was already miserable, hated that job. And I was like, okay, I don't want to do this. I don't want to end up like this person. I'm 26 at that time. I still have basically 40 more years. Like this is not what my life should be like. So that was the initial tipping point to actually start my side hustle and to actually take it serious. That then led into me moving to Canada and pursuing it here. But yeah, again, it was tough financially. I lived off of like $500 a month at times because business wasn't good at that time. I'm not very good at selling myself, so it was hard for me to get new clients. So I had to take on another job while I was here in Canada. And yeah, basically had to work that until December of 2021. When the Canadian government sent me a letter saying that they will not extend my work permit and that I have to leave the country immediately. It was actually Christmas Eve when they sent that over. So I was like, okay, this is a great Christmas present that I got there. So you sit there Christmas Eve. I was like, okay, your whole life that you just built in the last 4 years shattered into pieces. Didn't have a job anymore, was not allowed to work, couldn't even work my side hustle anymore because I wasn't allowed to take any payment from anybody while I was still in Canada. So that was the second major tipping point. It wasn't that I had enough of my full-time job. It was that I was forced out of my full-time job. I had no other option than to make my side hustle my main business. So I left the country registered my business in Germany, lived there for 3 months at a time, came back to Canada because my wife lived here. And so it was like a back and forth. But ever since the beginning of 2022, I have a full-time business, which was previously my side hustle. And it's like, felt like a little bird, you know, like when they just get tossed out of the nest to learn to fly.
Right.
That's basically what happened to me. I had no other choice than to fly, because otherwise I would just still live in my parents' guest bedroom and not make any money.
So, and like you mentioned, not wanting to be that person to put themselves out there and look at me, promo me, look at me. I mean, that's not who you are. But this kind of thing that happened to you kind of made you kind of step out and say, I have to make this work. I have to make my side hustle my main thing. So without that push, do you think you would be where you are right now if none of that had happened?
Probably not. Probably not.
Really?
I would probably still be working that full-time job and kind of limiting myself. Because, you know, you have that cushion. You have that comfort of a safe income every month. And you're not giving that up just that easily. Like, you want to buy a house, you want to provide for your family. Like being an entrepreneur and being a full-time entrepreneur and running your own business is a risky thing. Like if I lose 4 clients tomorrow, like I'm in trouble. So when you have that full-time job, I get it. Like the mindset is, okay, I have that safe income. Why would I give that up? And that was basically my mindset the 2 years before I actually jumped ship, or like was tossed off the ship, basically. That I thought I was in a position to be able to quit my job, but in the back of my head, I was always worried that I didn't believe in myself. Let's put it that way. I think it has had a lot to do with self-confidence, that when I would be on my own and running, making my side hustle my main thing, that I would not be able to maintain it, and that I would have to go back into working full time again, which for me would have been a massive failure again. I did that once when I moved to Canada and I tried to make it work for half a year and I had to go back into a full time job. That already was a massive hit to the ego. And if that would happen again, I think you're more hesitant.
Well. Okay, so again, for people listening, they really want to do that step. They're at that in-between tipping point right now, and they're really leaning towards their side hustle becoming their main thing. We just want to encourage them that it is possible, but it's going to be a lot of work. Yeah. Take a lot of effort. It's going to be a lot of sleepless nights, long nights, early mornings, right, to make this happen. But I think the one thing I heard somebody say, Michael, was that your salary that you get from your 9-to-5 job is the payment your boss makes to you to stop dreaming and just do your job. Take your dreams, put them on the shelf, come to work. We'll take care of you. Do the work that we ask you to do and go home. But that moment when you start dreaming about what could be and what you could have in life, I know that that always seemed interesting to people around me who don't have that kind of mentality about wanting a side hustle or building something on the side. The moment you mention to them that you're doing this or dreaming this, or, you know, what are you doing this weekend, Michael? Well, I'm working on my business. What are you doing tonight? I'm working on my business. Right? They get this confused look. Like, why isn't this job enough for you, Michael? Like, we're all happy. Only 20 more years. I get to retire. Why dream? Why do something on the outside of work? Did you ever have that kind of confused look from your coworkers when you explain to them a little bit of what you're doing after hours? Yeah.
Oh yeah. All the time. Like since I mean, the first person that looked at me that way was my employer at the newspaper. Like, he did not understand why I would give up a position like that. It's not easy to get into newspaper journalism in Germany. There's just a very limited number of spots that are available to rookies and new entries into that industry. So he looked at me like, why would you give up such an opportunity for something that is not even a thing yet. Like it's not even there yet. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I get that a lot, or I got that a lot until you can actually show people here, I work 4 hours a day. I can work whenever I want. I don't have to get up at 4 a.m. anymore because I can just do the work whenever. So it's, you have to endure a lot of things. You have to endure a lot of weird questions, awkward looks from people. But in the end, you gotta think about it is for yourself. It's like, you gotta ask yourself, do you really want to do something that you're not happy about for the rest of your life? Mm-hmm. That was the main question that I asked myself, because my family doesn't have any entrepreneurial background. I didn't grow up in a family that they were business owners or anything. My mom works for the government. My dad was a car mechanic, drove buses and public transportation. So they all had full-time jobs. I never grew up in that environment. But working a full-time job and then seeing how it made me feel all day, every day, I told myself, why do I have to live through this in a time like this? Mm-hmm. We have so many opportunities with the internet. Like our parents didn't have that. Our grandparents didn't have that.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's just, I want to live a life that where I'm happy every day. And going to the office, doing work for someone else that I'm not passionate about, wasn't really something that made me happy and fulfilled me. So yeah, that was my main motivation, honestly, like in the beginning, and was until I actually made it my full-time business.
It's amazing. So Michael, for those people that are looking to work with someone like you, they have the budget, they don't have the expertise, they don't have the team, and they're looking to bring on someone like you, what is like that onboarding experience like for a company when they reach out to you? What's it like to work with you beyond what we've already talked about? Because I'm sure there's people listening there like, Michael sounds like the right person for our organization, and we really want to know, what's it going to feel like? What's it going to be like to work with you? Can you kind of give us some insight into that?
Yeah, for sure. So before we actually start like anything with onboarding or whatnot or working together, I always encourage everyone who considers running ads answer like 4 questions. The first question is, do you know your target audience? Do you know your dream client, the person that you want to attract with your paid ads? That is the first thing. If you don't know that, then you should go back to the drawing board. Like that is the number one thing. Second thing is, do you have an offer that actually sells, where you know, okay, people are interested in it, there's demand for it. Because if you only want to run paid ads to test something, it might cost a lot of money nowadays. The third thing is like, is your infrastructure in place? And by infrastructure, I mean, okay, are your sales processes all weeded out? Like, does your sales funnel work? Does your email service provider work? Does your offer fulfillment work? These kind of things. Like, it only takes one thing, like one step not working, and all the money you spend in ads is going nowhere. And the last thing is, do you have realistic expectations? Like, that is the main thing. Like, someone comes to me and says, hey, I have this $1,500 online course. Please run ads to that page and sell 5 of them a day. I was like, okay, well, if you have $5,000 a day of ads budget, I can try to do that. But it doesn't work like that anymore. Like, people are not on Facebook anymore to buy $1,500 products. They're on Facebook or Instagram to watch their grandchildren or their friends, like what they're doing. They're not going onto Facebook with a buying intention. So a lot of times you have to set the realistic expectations with the client first before jumping into any kind of relationship. So those are the 4 things that I encourage everyone to answer first for themselves before reaching out to someone. Doesn't matter if it's me or anybody else. I'm upfront with people, and it was like, okay, like, I'm not going to take your money and spend it for you if you don't have these 4 things in place. In general, when a client comes to us, we actually do a account audit first. So when they decide to work with us, we get access to their advertising accounts, to their sales funnels, and so on, to make a full audit of what happened in the past, what they did in the past, what worked, what didn't work, where are holes that we need to fix in the funnel, in the infrastructure, and create basically a 3 to 5 page audit and an analysis what has to be done with action steps to take, campaign recommendations, copy recommendations, and so on. So that would be the first step. And then basically we take over and set up the campaigns, come up with the creatives, give instructions if we need video assets from clients to what to shoot, give them the scripts, how to shoot it. We have graphic designers, video editors in the team that will actually make them look good, write the copy, and then it's smooth sailing, hopefully, after that.
Wow. It's amazing.
So that would be basically the full service package if someone wants us to run the ads for them. We also have like a very affordable offer, which is like a swipe file, basically. So it's $14.40. Where you get basically a dashboard of over 250 ads that we know that convert and that grab the attention of the user, that you can go in and then model for yourself. Because a lot of times you know how to run ads sometimes, but you don't know what actually converts. Like you don't want to spend the money, you don't want to spend the time testing different copies, different creatives. So you can just go into that dashboard and actually see, okay, this is my industry. Let's say I'm in digital marketing or I'm in online coaching. We have that categorized by industry. And then you can go in and see, oh, this looks good. This could apply to me. And then based on these ads, you can build your own, with your own branding, with your own voice, and, run that, because it makes no sense to reinvent the wheel every single time. So if you know that people that spend thousands of dollars a day on advertising, why not model what they are doing?
That's
basically like an entry offer for someone that wants to run ads for themselves, but doesn't have the budget to hire someone to do it for them.
What about the other side of it then, for the companies that are looking to spend money on advertisements? How would they work with you? How would they find you? Or are you going after them? How does that kind of work?
I mean, they would basically find me through the internet, through my website, on Instagram. I'm not reaching out a lot, honestly. Like, that is one thing in my business that I need to do better, to actually reach out to these businesses and be more present online. Most of my business, honestly, comes through word of mouth and referrals, like happy clients that, especially because I work with a lot of online coaches, they also work with a lot of online coaches. Like, they coach them in a different aspect of their business.
Yeah.
And then they recommend them to me. Like, we have like some affiliate deals, some referral deals that are going on there. And that's basically probably 75% of the business right now that comes in.
It's amazing. Anything else from a side hustle perspective that we haven't covered, Michael, that you think could add value to the audience?
I think we covered pretty much everything. Again, it's all about being patient and being gritty. It's sometimes it's not fun. Sometimes it really, excuse my French, sucks to do it. Sometimes you just want to give up because you're like, okay, like, why am I doing this? Like, it's so much easier. And like, you can retract yourself into your comfort zone of the full-time job, of that monthly paycheck. But in the end, you just got to ask yourself, okay, is this what makes me happy? And if you can't answer that with a yes, then I think it's worth it to go through all the obstacles and challenges that running a side hustle brings with it.
It's amazing. So if you're sitting at your desk today, looking at the calendar, going 20, 25 more years of this, and then I get to retire, learn from Michael's experience and his example, and that there is a possibility for you to do something bigger and better with your life and carve out the career that you want for yourself instead of doing it for someone else. So, Michael, again, where do we find you? Where's all the information to connect and be a part of your world?
Yeah. So feel free to connect through Instagram. That's probably the platform where I'm the most active right now. I'm at the Michael Hoffman with 2 F and 2 N. Good old German way to spell it.
There you go.
And if you want to just dabble with Facebook ads and dip your feet into it, I highly recommend that swipe file dashboard that we have. You can find that at swipe.ascendusdigitalmedia.com. It's super valuable. We add 5 to 10 new ads every week, so it's not a stale document. It is actually dynamic, and you will always be up to speed with the ads that actually convert right now.
Amazing. Sounds like an amazing resource for everyone to tap into. So, Michael, thank you so much for taking time to be with us, talking about your side hustle, and wishing you great success for your future as well.
Thanks so much, David.
Hey parents, if you're anything like me, balancing screen time for our kids is a constant struggle. That's why I want to share a little secret with you. KidsPod, a revolutionary app where podcasts aren't just for adults anymore. KidsPod offers a treasure trove of kid-friendly podcasts, making it super easy and safe for your little ones to explore, learn, and be entertained without staring at a screen. And the best part? It's completely free to download. Empower their imagination and curiosity with content that's made just for them. Download the KidsPod app today, because podcasts are for kids too.